The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Probably want to get in touch about what is happening or not happening on Friday, October 22nd, Freedom Day, some were calling it. Not so for some in some industries. Anyway, we had this announcement earlier this afternoon from the government as to the latest lifting of COVID restrictions. Sean Defoe, our own political correspondent, has all of the details and he joins us now. Sean, can you talk us through?
Hi, Kieran. So there's quite a few measures included in the announcement today. I suppose one is that it is not going to be a Freedom Day on Friday. We are going to have a lot of the restrictions kept up until at least February 2022. So those including social distancing, that including mask wearing and the need for COVID passports. That's going to be extended well into next year, and that's going to require extra legislation. Now, in terms of what is actually going to ease on Friday, what we're going to see is the reopening of nightclubs for the first time in about 19 months with what the government is labelling appropriate protective measures. So you're going to have a COVID pass to get in. There's going to be contact tracing. And my personal favourite line out of this announcement, you're going to have to wear face masks except when eating, drinking and dancing. And no, we don't have clarity on whether eating the face off someone will actually fit into that particular category. COVID passports are also going to be needed basically to access all sorts of events, indoor events at least. Capacity limits have been removed for outdoor events. However, sectors should ensure that appropriate protective measures are in place, so says the announcement. Indoor events is where it does get a little bit confusing, Kieran, because some of them, like religious services and weddings, they're able to proceed without any capacity limits, but with other protective measures, so your mask wearing, all that kind of stuff in place. But for the big indoor events, the likes of indoor concerts, say something at the Three Arena, there's a little bit of confusion. So the Taoiseach, when I questioned him at the press launch, said that there wouldn't be any capacity limits on indoor or outdoor events and that people would be able to come in. But the actual guidelines itself say that there should be seated only. So anyone at an indoor event should be fully seated, and the standing is permitted in your seat, but you all have to be sat down, and the social distancing will have to apply. So that will obviously limit the capacity that you could possibly have in there. So we're waiting on the sectoral guidelines, and really until we get those from Fáilte Ireland, quite a few question marks over this particular announcement.
Okay, so I just have a few questions, because I'm thinking of something like a theatre and the Gaiety, the Abbey, something like that. I mean, on the face of it, it sounds like the Taoiseach was saying, no, that can go back to 100% capacity, but there's some suggestion you're going to have to maintain social distancing, which doesn't sound like it'll be 100% capacity.
No, and the Taoiseach was asked actually by Gavin Riley, obviously of News Talks, on the record about that a bit more in detail, and whether this is a de facto 60% limit, even if you're not calling it a 60% limit. He didn't really answer the question, instead saying that, look, there are going to be anomalies in this and that not everything is going to be the same, be it in a treatment of indoor and outdoor events or treatments of, say, a pub versus a nightclub, which we can maybe get into in a minute. So we really are totally reliant now on the sectoral guidelines, because if it is, like you say, for a theatre or for the Three Arena or anything indoors, if you have to maintain social distancing, you're going to have a problem. And that will be a problem for anyone who's already sold tickets, because they probably will have sold those tickets on the basis that there was a certain amount of standing as well as seated, and now you can't have people standing. And then also that you would be able to not have social distancing.
What about antigen tests? What did they tell us today?
So a few changes when it comes to antigen tests. One of them is that now they're going back to testing the contacts or the close contacts of people who have caught COVID. So if you are a close contact of someone with a confirmed case, you're going to be sent out an antigen test in the post to do yourself and to try and catch you. After that, like, it was kind of billed beforehand that there would be significant change in antigen tests. I don't think there actually is, except for an attitude change from NPHET, who are now adopting this. Everything else is going to be a little bit down the line. So the government and NPHET have both said that the rapid testing expert advisory group is going to be asked to look at voluntary self-testing for people who want to engage in high-risk behaviours. And that's nightclubs is cited in the release as an example of that. So you would be able to go and get a test perhaps before going to a nightclub. And the other one that probably does make quite a bit of sense is that they are going to look at using rapid antigen testing to allow people who on medical grounds can't get a vaccine to get a COVID pass. So if you're not able to get a vaccine for medical reasons, but you still want to go to dinner or go to a show or whatever it is, that you would be able to take an, an antigen test, and if it's negative, get a COVID pass to go and do that.
All right. Well, listen, as soon as there is any update, as Sean said, on those sectoral guidelines by the end of the show, we will bring them to you. Still some question marks, because like Sean, on the face of it, I was listening to Micheál Martin's address earlier, and I assumed you would have full capacity at venues as long as they were seated. Now, that's not great for, I'm sure, musicians and bands out there who want people standing, but at least 100% capacity with people seated. It sounds like there might not be the case, that you might have a de facto limit if there's going to have to be social distancing. You can't fill every row in the theatre if people are meant to be sitting a metre apart. So you can call it 100% capacity, but if social distancing applies, it won't be 100% capacity. So listen, like I said, we're looking, and like Sean said, we're looking for that sectoral guidance, and we'll bring it to you. We're also going to come back to the issue of antigen testing after 5 o'clock. Luke O'Neill, the Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College, is going to be joining me, a longtime advocate of antigen testing. I mean, it's something people have been calling for, and of course it's not a silver bullet. You only have to look at our nearest neighbours where they've got large scale antigen testing. Lateral flow tests is what they refer to them as, and obviously COVID cases through the roof there, so they are not a silver bullet. Having said that, they do work well in other jurisdictions, and our plan today seems remarkably unambitious in that regard. I'm just thinking about it. They're talking about antigen testing close contact. So if I don't feel well today and I book a test for this evening in a local drive-through centre, I get a phone call at some stage tomorrow, and the HSE then will ask me who my close contacts are. I'll tell them who my close contacts are and give them what contact details I have. Then they will chase them up, and once they get through to them, they will, I assume, ask for a home address, and then they will post them out an antigen test to do themselves. I can't see how anyone, any of my close contacts, would have an antigen test Friday at the earliest. Some of them probably not till Saturday. That's even if they answer the phone. So it doesn't seem like it's remarkably ambitious. And the numbers are tiny, because I checked before coming on air, 3.4 close contacts per positive case. That's what we have at the moment, which means if you're sending out an antigen test to each of them, and we've about 1,700 odd cases at the moment, that's the 5-day average, it's just under 6,000 cases, 6,000 antigen tests a day the government are talking about doing. Now, when Denmark lifted restrictions to avoid finding themselves in the situation Ireland finds themselves in, the state carried out about 500,000 antigen tests a day, and they have a similar population. So they tested about 500,000 every day with antigen tests to make sure they didn't find themselves where Ireland is. And our solution to all of this several months later is a pilot project with about 5,000, a tenfold decrease on what the Danes did. And we wonder why we find ourselves in this position. Anyway, we're going to talk to Luke O'Neill a little bit about that after 5 o'clock. I'm joined now, though, by a number of people impacted directly and indirectly by today's announcement. Ian Redmond, owner of Tramline in Dublin. Ian, are you happy?
I'm absolutely delighted, Ciarán. Yeah, 590 days, 12th of March 2020 was the last time we got to have anybody dance on our dance floor in the club. And this coming Friday, it's such a release. The energy, the buzz now from the staff after the announcement. You know, the last couple of days was very difficult. We didn't know whether we were coming or going. And then the Neffet advice got leaked last night, and then murmurs and murmurs. And then to hear Micheál Martin today giving us effectively the green light to go ahead. It's not Freedom Day, but we're calling it Freedom Light. We're nearly there. And a few tests, the COVID passport on the way in. We're happy to do that. Check it matches their ID, so nobody's bringing up a fake one. We fully believe that 97% of our cohort will be vaccinated coming up. So out of 1,000 people coming to my club on Friday night, there may be 30 who aren't vaccinated. You know, so it's very minimal. We think that everybody who wants to come out clubbing will be vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm sure much relief, because you and I have spoken before in recent weeks and particularly in recent days when all of this was called into question. And not just you, but your staff as well, and staff you would have kept on and who were expecting kind of to be going back to work full tilt come Friday. Well, suddenly there was a question mark over that.
We fully ramped up about 6 weeks ago, took our management team back on, and it's been brilliant. Multiple meetings every week about how we're going to progress, how we're going to do it safely, what events we're going to put on, and, you know, whether people will come. And yes, we've sold over 3,000 tickets for the first 10 days of our events. Some events haven't sold well with maybe the older cohorts, the bit of vaccine hesitancy or hesitancy about coming to a venue that might have a few hundred people in. So people are concerned, and that's understandable. People are entitled to that. But We believe that it's going to be just the atmosphere is going to be electric on the weekend.
And how will it operate? Because a lot of us, I suppose anoraks like myself who are actually listening to the Taoiseach's address in the middle of the day, immediately started scrambling around for detail, wondering if people would have to book tables in nightclubs or whether there would be allowed, bar service would be allowed. It sounds like really once you're in the doors of the nightclub, once you've done the COVID check at the door, it's kind of business as usual beyond wearing a mask unless you've got a drink in your hand, which is most of the time.
Exactly. Yeah, look, we're going to have to hold the slow sets till February, but
okay, so it kind of business as usual to a degree.
Business as usual. I've even had people ask me, would they need to take a ticket to get up and dance? Absolutely not. No, come in safely, masks on the way in. There'll be minimal contact. It'll be touch, it'll be scan, it'll be, there'll be very little cash handled. It'll all be payment by tap, passing the drinks out. And I'm really, really excited and think, I think we can do it safely.
Yeah.
I think, like with the amount of people who are vaccinated, with just all the plans we put in place, I think it can work really well.
Yeah, well, listen, we wish you well, because I know we have been speaking about it many times, about how long you've been closed. 500 and how many days?
590 come Friday. Yeah.
590 come Friday, yeah, who's counting? Yeah. Well, Noel Anderson is the MD of Lemon & Duke. He's chair of the LVA, the Licensed Vintners Association, and he's with me as well. Noel, I understand you do have a few concerns about today's announcement, is that right?
Yeah, I suppose in Sean's report, he used the word confusing a number of times. We're absolutely still confused. I'm really excited for nightclubs to get going, but I'm not quite sure it's as clear cut as that. I mean, we have question marks. Are people allowed to use the bar counters? Because unfortunately, my vice chair at the moment is currently saying he can't open because he doesn't think he can use the bar counter. So, but if you can use it, fantastic, because that's what makes nightclubs viable. But wouldn't it be a bizarre situation where I couldn't go to my local in the Blue Haven and sit at the bar counter and have a pint of Guinness and read a newspaper, but I could go into a nightclub and go to the bar counter? And
well, actually, no, sorry, we might come back to those anomalies in just a minute, but Ian, your understanding is people will be able to go to the bar and nightclubs, is it?
Yeah, well, NEFA fully understand what a nightclub is, and the government fully understand what a nightclub is, and okay, they've given us the green light to go ahead as a nightclub, whereas last year when they said we could reopen, it was till 11:30, there had to be tables and stuff, and there was no dancing, and like, you know, so they've got into the real world and they understand what a nightclub is, so they're letting us operate as a nightclub.
Okay, so it certainly sounds like that there will be bar service. That's your understanding. But no, you're kind of highlighting that there's going to be anomalies now. And listen, the government have acknowledged there will be anomalies, but you have an issue with some of these anomalies that exist then between pubs and nightclubs.
Not necessarily an issue. We need urgent clarity around it. So let's just take Lemon & Duke for a minute there. So I can have 10 people at a table, and that's the limit I have. But at 12:30, I can use my special exemption order and turn myself into a nightclub and away I go. So, you know, this is where we just need to get into the real world. I admire Ian's thoughts that NEFA are actually finally moved into the real world. So we'll have to see if that's true or not.
Sorry, Noel, just because to clarify, because people won't understand the licensing laws in Ireland. I don't really myself, but there's not a nightclub license per se. I mean, it's just kind of a later license.
I have three licenses. I have a restaurant license. I have a 7-day license, but I've also a public singing, music, dancing license, which allows me to get special exemptions on that.
So that's the license a nightclub would have as well.
There's no difference in law. There's no difference in law whatsoever between a bar and a nightclub. A nightclub is just a venue that has a public dance license, which is an extra application on top of your music and singing license.
So, Noel, I suppose there's this kind of grey area, is there, where you've got venues that are a bit of both, as we would have called them, the late pub?
Well, we call them a late bar. So, in the LVA, in the nightclubs and bar industry, they're late bars and there's nightclubs. Nightclub is a bit different from a late bar, but there's no difference in law.
Okay. And how that operates, Noel, though, is going to be the question, isn't it?
Oh, very, very much so. I mean, our statement after the announcement is more questions than anything. So, you know, we need urgent clarity for our members around what's going on. And we're seeking it very, very quickly off the government, because there's 60 hours before some of our...
Oh, well, listen, just while we work on that connection to Noel, Mary Whelan is with me as well. She's the owner of Heirlooms Irish Craft and Design in Dublin too, and she's a member of Dublin Can Be Heaven. And Mary, it's with lots of focus on the hospitality industry as well today, but as well, what got mentioned was people returning to offices and a gradual return and probably not a full return until spring. That has a direct impact on city traders like yourself, doesn't it?
It has a huge impact on us because the office workers are the lifeblood of the city. People talk about tourism a lot and tourists literally come and go, but the office workers are the consistent, stable customers that businesses have, the daily coffees, the daily lunches, the popping into the shop for the gifts and so on. And without them, most of the small independent retails that I know of are still struggling, still just, you know, ticking over.
Yeah, for people who don't operate, don't live, don't work or in and around Dublin City, can you paint a picture for us? Because, you know, since September, the end of September, there has been some gradual return. So the roads are busier and there are more people about, but it's nothing like you need, is it?
It's nothing like we need. It's actually very complex. So there's a lot of issues at play here. One of the things is that Dublin has it's not the same city. Everybody can see that. It's not clean. It's not well kept. There's not the same sense of safety in the city. We know directly as a result of the violence happening just down there in the city centre. There's all these things that we've been lobbying for, you know, to try and get the city cleaned up, try and get a sense of vibrancy back. It's a hard task. I have to say the powers that be, we feel very strongly, aren't listening to us and aren't interested. So that's a hard one. Then you find, you know, you're my street, for example, two businesses closed down this year. That directly impacted me. If I were to close down next year, that impacts somebody else. So it's like a domino effect. We see all of these empty units everywhere. That doesn't give a good vibe to the city, because what it does is it brings in antisocial behaviour. There's more litter, more graffiti. I'm painting a bad picture here, but as somebody who used to do walking tours of Dublin, I'm very proud of the city and I've always loved it. And I do feel that it's been neglected hugely in the last year and a half. So unless something radical happens pretty soon, I think the first quarter of next year is going to be a very tough one.
I mean, something radical is unlikely to happen though, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to imagine public advice changing remarkably in terms of the return to the office between now and early spring.
That's true. So what you have to look at is you have to look at all of the other stakeholders and the users of the city. So typically, you know, over the years, we would have had people coming in to do their shopping maybe once a week, once a fortnight, once a month, whatever. A lot of those people are now going to shopping centres. And it's easy to understand. Parking is cheaper. A lot of people still not using public transport, especially now that it's at full capacity. A lot of people are still very nervous about coming in. What we did last year, we started our own Drive in Dublin campaign where we pay for our customers' parking for an hour. We've asked Dublin City Council to support us in this. They refused flatly.
Because it would be seen to encourage more traffic into the city?
Yes. We made the point that we had 3 weeks of trading last December. And for those 3 weeks, we said, just because this is an anomaly, this has never happened before, help us out here. And absolutely no. So we feel that retail, and especially small retail, has been way left behind.
And when you talk about, you know, a reckoning after Christmas in the first quarter of next year, are you talking about businesses shutting their doors?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can see it on the cards. I know there are people who aren't even drawing a proper salary from their businesses at the moment. They're using their savings. They're hoping and hoping and hoping that things are going to improve. And there's only so long that you can hope. And as I say, OK, office workers won't come back in their droves until the spring, but something else has to happen to allow us to have access to people who want to come into the city. And that means a clean city, a usable city, a safe city, and a city that's easy to get into.
Well, I know Noel Anderson, when we were speaking just a moment ago, was talking about anomalies, and we have a statement from a spokesperson for the Department of Arts and Culture. We understand that there are some clarifications and anomalies which need to be worked through, and we will be engaging with the Department of Taoiseach, Sectoral and other stakeholders over the coming hours and days to find resolutions to any issues which may arise. We'll see if they answer those questions. Noel, we appreciate your time. Noel Anderson, the MD of Lemon & Duke, he's chair of the LVA, the Licensed Vintners Association. Ian Redmond is the owner of Tramline in Dublin, and Mary Whelan is the owner of Heirlooms Irish Craft and Design in Dublin too, and a member of Dublin Can Be Heaven. Thank you all very much for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder.